Rebecca told herself to ignore the pounding in her chest. This was one time she had to listen to her head and not her heart. $3,000 was a fortune to her, and it could change her entire life.
Don't be so nervous, Seymour. Believe it or not, you're not doing anything wrong.
I know. I just hope that it won't be long before those men leave Uncle Cornelius's room. I'm anxious to talk to him, that's all.
Oh, I thought you were worried about being alone with me in my hotel room.
Not at all. We're friends. Nothing wrong with friends being together, right?
That's right. What shall we do to pass the time?
I don't really know. I suppose we could talk.
It might be better if we didn't. Someone passing by in the hall might hear us.
So?
Well, just because we know there's nothing improper going on, that doesn't mean everyone else would know, too.
Rebecca was very close to him now. She laid a hand on his chest.
Maybe we should do something else.
Rebecca, I thought we had settled this. There can't be anything romantic between us.
Rebecca shook her head as she looped her left arm around his neck.
I'm not talking about romance. I'm just talking about a pleasurable way to pass the time.
But I can't!
Of course you can.
Rebecca forestalled any further conversation by pressing her lips to his. Rebecca thought for a second Seymour was going to pull away or push her back a step. But for all his high-flown morals, he was human after all, and male to boot, which meant that after stiffening for a second, he began to relax and enjoy what was going on. With her right hand, she slipped the knife from the pocket of her dress. The blade was long enough to reach his heart. All she had to do now was plunge it into his back with all her strength between his ribs and into the organ she could feel slugging against her as she molded her body to his. He would die without a sound because she intended to keep her mouth pressed to his until he was finished. The knife was poised, ready for the kill. Why couldn't she do it? Rebecca had turned the key in the lock without him noticing and then slipped it into the same pocket where the knife was concealed. Now someone was trying to get into the room. As a surprised and guilty-looking Seymour started to turn toward the door, Rebecca stepped back and hid the knife behind her.
Lord, what in heaven's name?
Maggie O'Ryan stumbled into the room, clutching the shoulder she had obviously just used to break the door open. She forgot any pain she was feeling, though, in the surge of anger that reddened her face as she glared at Rebecca.
You! I knew you were up to no good! You trollop!
You have no right to break into my room like that, Miss O'Ryan. Seymour, you're the marshal. Arrest her!
You can arrest me when I'm through with her! And with you! That's right, Seymour Standish. I have some things to say to you, too. But first...
Maggie advanced on Rebecca, stalking forward like a cat after its prey.
When I saw you taking Seymour up here, I knew you were still after him. I should have known better than to ever trust him. I certainly didn't trust you.
Maggie, I promise you nothing happened.
For God's sake, Seymour, what sort of fool do you think I am? Your face is red. You're breathing hard.
You startled me.
Maggie leaped forward, throwing a punch like a man, and her fist crashed into Rebecca's jaw. The punch's impact drove Rebecca backward against a dressing table. Seymour didn't have time to wonder what the knife had been doing on the table. He lunged at Maggie as she swung another blow at Rebecca's head. The punch didn't land, not because of Seymour's efforts, but because Rebecca recovered enough of her wits to duck underneath it. The two young women crashed together and then slammed into Seymour. It was like Seymour had been run over by a mauling, clawing, hair-pulling buzzsaw. Rebecca scrambled to her feet first and fled, dashing out the open door. Maggie went after her.
Maggie, stop!
Graphic audio. A movie in your mind.